Hello, I hope you're doing well today. I'm Jamie from Stillmire Games, and I'm here as usual on Wednesday to share Stillmire Games news, to discuss random topics, and to answer any questions you have, and probably ask some questions to you too as well. I know I have some questions for you. And I wanted to start off by saying last week, really the last couple of weeks, we've had some internet issues. Two completely unrelated things. One, last week, there were some big gaps in downtime where our internet just was not here at all. I think they were servicing our area. And the week before that, I had some streaming issues because I think I had some outdated technology. And so I had I asked the cable people, the internet people, our internet service provider to come out, and I had a great chat with the cable guy when he was here a couple weekends ago, and my upload time seemed to be much better. So hopefully we don't have either of those issues today, but thank you for your patience over the last few weeks in dealing with them. I see some many friendly faces here today. Thank you for joining me for today's conversation. I have a bunch of random topics to talk about today. Let's start off with what's going on at Stillmire Games. Really, I can't name the specific projects, although I can name one of them. I've been doing a lot of playtesting, and one of the games that I've been playtesting is Vantage, the big open world game that I recently started to reveal. Also doing some playtesting on some things that I can't mention yet, and doing some proofreading on a game that I can't mention yet either, but wrapping up the proofreading process is always really satisfying to see how much things change during the proofreading process for clarity and visuals, especially in the rule book. So I'm really happy with where this project is at this point. Been working a lot on that. Thank you, Ian, for the reminder to post the comments. I will do that. In fact, Ian, I'll post your comment just to get myself in the habit of clicking those comments. As always, if you have any questions about anything, as long as it's not a spoiler question, I am happy to answer it here. I did reveal yesterday, just because someone asked, and I was like, okay, I'll just answer. I did reveal that the date that I will start to fully reveal the Expeditions expansion is May 22nd. So that's 2 weeks from today. May 22nd, 2 weeks from today, I will reveal the Expeditions expansion. And unless something wild happens with freight shipping between then and now, the plan is to have it launch on our web store on June 5th. That's the Expeditions expansion. Reveal on May 22nd, launch it on our web store on June 5th, and ship it throughout June until our fulfillment centers have finished shipping. That does actually bring me to one of my topics for today, which is tomorrow I am planning to write a blog post, or really an updated blog post, about the current state of worldwide fulfillment and shipping, specifically fulfillment. So that's the when a fulfillment center ships a package to you individually. This isn't the freight shipping part portion of the freight of the shipping process. I have a post that I've done for many years now where I kind of update where we are, the different services that we're using at Stillmire Games, and what we can directly recommend, as well as some other companies that have come highly recommended from other creators. And so I'm going to do a blog post about that tomorrow, but I wanted to see if you have any recent thoughts about fulfillment. If any publisher has shipped anything to you, maybe specifically games, but it could be any product. Is there anything that you would like me to talk about in this blog post in regards to shipping? Anything you'd like to see more fulfillment centers do? Anything you'd like to see fulfillment centers stop doing? Mainly, again, focusing on games, but it could be any product. Let me know today about that if you have any thoughts about it. Steve says he finally got a copy of Cascadia Landmarks. It was a really fun expansion. Have you played that one yet? I have not played that one yet. Cascadia is a game that if someone brings it out, I'm always happy to play it, but it isn't one that I think to play very often. So no, that isn't one that I have pursued the expansion for. I did back the recent expansion for Earth. I'm excited about that, and I'm also backing. What else am I backing? I feel like I'm backing something else right now. Oh, I'm backing a few projects. I'm gonna pull up Kickstarter over here to see what else I'm backing. I'm backing Apistocracy. And I'll show that on my screen here as soon as I pull it up. Here we go. Yeah, so I think this is the only live project I'm backing. Here is, oh, I gotta share my screen. One second. Share screen. Here we go. Make sure I'm not spoiling anything that I shouldn't be spoiling. Here's Apistocracy. This is a really beautiful game that that I've seen in person, or I've seen a version of it in person, because the designer went attended the 2023 Stonemaier Games Design Day. And so this is a worker placement game. And one of my favorite things about it, and I haven't played it, but this is, I heard this hook about it, and this is the thing that I would say I'm most excited to play about it, is that most of the cards in the game double as playing cards, or a certain type of card, you can see it right here, doubles as playing cards. And at the end of the game, the cards of those that you have left in your hand, you get to use them for a hand of, I think it's whist. It's a like a trick-taking style game at the very end with the cards that you end up with, which I think is such a clever twist of this game. And the art, I love the art. It reminds me a lot of Obsession, but the creator here, Heather, is also the artist of the game. Wish I had a full photo of the board, because it's a really, here we go. You can kind of see the board here. It's not a game about bees, but I think there's a reflection of the society of a beehive as is reflected by this Victorian society. Anyway, I'm backing that right now. I'm really excited about Apostocracy. What are you backing right now? Are you backing pre-order? Is there anything that you have ordered from a company that you're excited about? And actually, before I get to comments, I should mention that shipping update for anything that you ordered about, I think it was 2 weeks ago that we did the order for, the Vantage Coins right here. Three new Rolling Realms promos and the Libertalia Loot promo. So if you ordered any of those things with the Vantage Coins haven't yet arrived at our fulfillment centers, but they are arriving. We're looking at Canada and the US arriving next week. So probably either starting to ship next week or the following week. They're arriving in Europe the week after that. So thanks for your patience about that. I know it's not urgent to get the coins for a game that doesn't release for a year, but you might be excited about the Libertalia Loot tiles and the new realms for Rolling Realms. So thanks for your patience there, but shipping should start for most regions next week. Australia is already done, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, and Europe will happen the week after that. All right, let's see what questions I have missed here. Let's see, Zachary says, so would you guess Rolling Realms Redux would likely be coming a month or so after the Expeditions expansion? I think that's a reasonable guess, but usually I only talk about like the next thing. So the next thing is the Expeditions expansion. Let's see. Donna says, so we're talking about fulfillment a little bit today, because I'm going to do a blog post about fulfillment centers tomorrow. I love how some of the fulfillment centers post on their Facebooks what project they're currently working on. Oh, I like that, Donna. I'm going to make a note of that. I've noticed that Spiral Galaxy in particular does that. Facebook posts with current projects. And really, that's a neat way to get people excited about what's being shipped and released. So yeah, I like that a lot as well. George says, do you know if the Vantage Coins along with the Rolling Realms promos started to ship? Oh, there we go. George just answered your question without seeing it. But yeah, they're supposed to arrive the week of May 20th in Europe. So hopefully they will be ready to ship. So depending on exactly when they arrive that week, they might ship that week or the week afterward. Garrett says that Dark Matter had an early premiere last night. We watched the first episode and really enjoyed it. I know Chad, who might be in the comments as well, is excited about it as well. So we just finished. I am excited about it. It's not quite at the top of our list right now because we just finished Shogun. We're still watching, which was incredible. We're still watching The Great, and we need to, well, we don't need to, but we want to start watching Fallout and the new season of Top Chef. So probably Fallout will be next, and then as our big sci-fi show, and then we'll do Dark Matter after that. But I am really excited about it. I really enjoyed the book for Dark Matter. Donna asked if she missed an Expeditions announcement. I just said a little thing about Expeditions, that on May 22nd, 2 weeks from now, is when I will do the reveal for the Expeditions expansion. I might tease a few things a little bit before that, but that's the full reveal. And then June 5th will be the launch and the start of shipping on our web store. Or the launch. The shipping will probably happen a few days after that, but it'll be ready to go. Let's see. Greg says, some fulfillment centers work better than others, but I like to see more of them give shipping notices when they actually ship. It's nice to get a surprise in the mailbox, but I prefer to know when to look. Yeah, really, I agree, Greg. I think in my opinion, I don't want to say should, but that seems like standard practice, that you get a shipping notification when an order ships. So yeah, I agree. That's always a little odd when something just shows up. Luke says, do you have a board game table? I'll get my Wormwood gaming table this summer. Luke's wife and him are excited to leave a game set up inside of the vault to easily play larger games that take multiple sessions. That's something that I really like about my gaming table as well. I have the Jasper, I believe, from Board Game Tables, one of the less expensive tables, but it has held up for quite a few years now. I really, really like the table, and it does have an inset that I really like. And one thing I learned about it, because I had a previous version of it under a different name. I can't remember the earlier name of it, but the previous version had two pieces for the top. So when you wanted to get access to the main part of the table, you had to remove these two pieces, and they were really heavy. And so the Jasper has three lighter pieces that I really appreciate. So that's something that I like to look at for in game tables. More pieces on the top layer to pull off the table. Oh, I like this. Using actual renewables, recyclables for packaging. The corrugated cardboard inserts between the outer box and the product are a great step towards protecting products and can be readily recycled. I really like that. Sustainability and renewables. I like that word. Yeah, absolutely agree. Ryan says, regarding fulfillment centers, I just want more updates. Estimated start date, percentages fulfilled, estimated completion. I like that too, Ryan. I'm trying to think if it's reasonable to put that on fulfillment centers, though. I think that is, in my mind, that is more the responsibility of the publisher or the creator, not the fulfillment center. I think the fulfillment center's job is to pack the game up in a box and ship it to you and make sure that you get a tracking number, a tracking notification. But I think the rest of those things, while very important, I think are the responsibility of the publisher. Jeremy says the same thing. Send shipping and tracking info. I'll make a note of that. I think that's already on my... I have a template for this blog post that I've used over the years, but tracking notifications, yeah. Ryan mentions better tracking as well. Oh, and yeah, so Ryan, this is something that I do mention in the blog post, I'm pretty sure I do, that sometimes fulfillment centers get a little bit ahead of themselves where they print a bunch of labels all at once and they later put those labels on the packages. I understand why they do this, but oftentimes, when that label is printed or created, that is when people get a tracking notification. But that doesn't mean it's actually being shipped right away. So we always ask our fulfillment centers to not send that tracking notification until the package actually goes out the door, until it is scanned. That tracking notification should not get made. Or if, at the very least, the first notification should say, your label has been created. You'll get another notification when it's scanned and goes out the door. Austin has a nice thing to say about our approach. I really like the Stillmire approach of getting away from Kickstarter and having games ready to ship shortly after being announced. Otherwise, there tend to be a lot of hiccups and delays. And that's one of the big reasons why we do that, Austin. There's so much uncertainty that goes into the entire production and freight shipping and fulfillment process that, like even with these Vantage coins, like we wanted to put them along with some other items in our web store. But they haven't arrived yet. And so we thought they would arrive next week for Europe. They arrived a week later. That sort of uncertainty can be frustrating for customers, understandably so, including myself. So I like removing that uncertainty. Ian mentions packaging. So quality packaging. I think that's on the blog post too, but I can always double check. Frank says, you mentioned a while back that you used the Wingspan fan art as a resource for finding an artist for a game that you're designing, or that we're publishing, not necessarily a game that I'm designing. Are you able to tell us which game and or which fan art card? I mean, I could tell you, but I'm not going to tell you yet. This is a product that's fairly, it'll be a little while, probably 2 years before we release it. So this is well before the time that I would reveal that information. But you are right that while selecting an artist for an upcoming project, a new game, we use the Wingspan fan art cards as a resource. I have a blog post about how we did that to reach out to a few different artists to get some more samples more directly related to this game. It's not a bird themed game. And we found an amazing artist that we've been working with. Really, we found multiple amazing artists, and it just happened to be one specific style that we decided was the right fit for this game. Luke mentions An Age Contrived. So this is one of the games I played recently. I talked about it on the YouTube channel on Tuesday. Some other games that I played recently, played Spots with some friends, this past weekend after we went out to dinner with them and we wanted kind of a low-key game to play together. I did terribly, but I had a great time playing Spots. It's a push-your-luck game where you're placing dice on cards that have dogs with spots on them. Really clever game. I played Far Away a few times on Board Game Arena and really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun playing Far Away. I'm not sure how to classify Far Away, but it is a game where you're acquiring 8 cards and then you are scoring those cards in the opposite order in which you obtain them. Also played Skyrise and was really pleasantly surprised by Skyrise. I know to expect great things from Roxley Studios. They do great games, but I wasn't expecting to have so much fun playing it. I don't know why. I think maybe there's some city themed auction games that don't do it for me, but this is a spatial auction game in a sky city. That I really enjoyed. It reminded me a lot of Ra, and I really love Ra, and I really, really enjoyed Skyrise. And what's this other game? I have another note on here. SMLB. What is SMLB? Smlub. What is my note to myself here? SMLB. I have no idea what SMLB is. Stonemaier. I don't know what that is. I made a note to myself about a game that I played this past week. I know I played Spots, Far Away, Skyrise. Yeah, I don't know what that other game is. But I did play disc golf a few times this weekend. I played at a charity tournament and played it forehand. And then my elbow was a little sore. And so I went out with some friends and played backhand the next day. And it's actually been kind of fun to work on my backhand. I haven't played backhand in a while. I'm very curious what SMLB is. Any clues what SMLB is? What game was I talking about for SMLB? Yeah, that's why I avoid using acronyms. I have one other question of the day. I'll wait a few minutes to reveal that. Let's see. Jeff says, I put the Vantage coins in an order of Charterstone for Geekway pickup. Will they be available by then? You know, we weren't sure if they would be, but it looks like they are. They will be. If that hadn't worked out, Jeff, we were going to ship for free to people who have selected Geekway pickup. But it is looking like the Vantage coins will be available for Geekway pickup, along with anything else that anyone ordered for Geekway to the West. Looks like my focus went out. Let's see if I can get the focus to come back. There we go. Thank you, Focus. I see Garrett is really excited about ARCs. He says, other than Root, Whirly games haven't really resonated with me, but I'm really excited about ARCs and its mashup of mechanisms. Your comment resonates with me, Garrett. I won't go into that fully, but yeah, there's certain designers that I have so much respect for, but I've tried multiple games of theirs they're not a fit for my style of gaming. But I'm always kind of hopeful that I'll discover one that works, because I know there are some beloved designers, including Cole Worley. A lot of respect for him. Just, as gamers, we have different preferences. And but maybe ARCs will be the one. We'll see. Here's Chad saying that he's excited about Dark Matter. Oh, cool. Ryan says that Top Chef is Wisconsin this season. Yeah, we haven't started the season yet, but that's exciting that it's up there in Wisconsin. Okay, Chad, I asked about fulfillment centers. What do you want me to discuss about fulfillment centers in my blog post tomorrow? Chad says, I just received a fulfillment update from Unconscious Minds. One thing I really appreciated and got me excited was they included actual photos from Panda as they're working on the components. Yeah, again, I think that's great. Again, great. I would put that more on the publisher side. Fulfillment is just the final step of it. Fulfillment is when the game is already at the fulfillment center and the fulfillment center needs to pack it up, put postage on it, and get it out the door to you. That's the fulfillment portion. This is production that you're talking about, but I agree, those photos, those updates from publishers are really important and really helpful. Zachary says, have I played the game Shogun? I have not played the game Shogun, no. Does watching a show with the same name, whether or not they're related, give you any desire to play the board game? You know, I didn't think to play Shogun while watching Shogun, but sometimes that might happen. I've heard great things about Shogun. I'd like to play it, but no, it didn't. I'm sure that has happened with other shows, but I know it happened with like Dune Imperium, but that was Dune and Dune Imperium. That was more of a direct connection between the two things. Ray says, have I watched the recent Kenneth Branagh Brunoff, how do you pronounce his name? Adaptations of Agatha Christie's mysteries. I just got around to see the latest one, A Haunting in Venice, which centers around a seance. Fun combination of whodunit mystery with horror elements. I've not watched that one. I think I watched Murder on the Orient Express. Maybe that one. Watch one of them. If you like that style of show, I really, really enjoyed... I'm going to blank on the name of it. It's a Hulu show. It's a whodunit. It has a character like Kenneth Branagh, or however you say his name. Love in Other Details, I think, or Murder in Other Details, something in Other Details. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, let me know. George says, nice haircut. Thank you. Yeah, I gave myself a haircut maybe this past weekend, maybe last week. Tim says, avoid big boxes for small packages. Absolutely agree with that. I love that, Tim. I'll just write it the way you said it. Avoid big boxes for... avoid big packages for small... Like the packages is what I think of the outside for small games. I'll say it that way. Yeah, I like that. Ian says, why are games more expensive in the Stonemaier game store and less expensive at retailers? Shouldn't it be the other way around? That's a great question, Ian. So a couple different answers here. One is that the price that retailers charge is entirely up to them. We don't control that. We have a specific price on our web store, and we also have a lot of things on sale on our web store. But the price that retailers pay is entirely up to them. Like, they might have a game that is selling really, really well that they don't have many units of, and they might sell it at full MSRP, which is just our suggested price. They might have a game that isn't selling well, and so they need to get that out the door, and so they might price it at a really big discount. And sometimes retailers, they just discount all sorts of stuff. That's their method of bringing in customers. They're not offering any value other than cheap prices. So that happens too. Most retailers, especially most local retailers, offer a lot more value beyond just price. But you're right, why is the price higher on our web store? And this is a constant discussion, I would say, between me and our retail team, because I like to charge really appealing prices on our web store with the catch that we have a Stonemaier Champion program. And so if you're a Stonemaier Champion, you get a 20% discount on everything. So we have to make sure, oftentimes the price that that champions pay is, especially on a sale price, is really low. It's really quite low. It's often lower than any other price that you'll see even on an online store. And so I had to take that into account. If we discount our products too much, and then we have the champion discount on top of that, then we're getting to the point where we might be only breaking even on the product, which isn't ideal. But the discussion that we often have with my retail team is that most retailers, especially most local retailers, really don't like to see products on our website, on our web store for sale, because they often need to sell our games at close to full MSRP to pay for the many different overhead costs that a local retail store has. So most retailers like to see a publisher charging full MSRP on our web store. It's something that we don't necessarily stick to, because we do have some sale prices on our web store, especially for the more expensive products. Our margins are pretty good on those products when we're selling them directly. So those products we often put on sale, and then there's the 20% champion discount on top of that. But those are the different factors that go into it, that retailers can really charge whatever they want, but retailers also prefer publishers, and often can get pretty frustrated with retailers, with publishers, if they don't charge full price on their web store. So yeah. Oh, cool. Krissa is watching this from a cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean. That's awesome, Krissa. What's been the highlight of your trip so far? That's amazing. Wegos Ponte Mosca says, have an option for group international shipping. That is something, a tip more for publishers than fulfillment centers, but I see what you're saying. That is more about, so the post that I'm writing is about fulfillment centers. Totally get your point. Good tip for publishers there to offer that option. Here we go. Thank you, Garrett, for figuring out the acronym. SMLB is Super Mega Lucky Box. I don't know why I can remember that, because I that's what I played this past week. Thank you for thinking of that, Garrett. Looks like Brian got it down here as well. Steve thought it was Major League Baseball. I could not think of what that was. Donna says, what are your thoughts about the next large box for Munchkin they just announced? Donna, you know, I have to admit, I've never played Munchkin. It feels like a game that I should have played by now, but I've never played Munchkin. So I don't have any thoughts about the big box. Brennan says, how much impact does the Automa Factory have on your decision to publish a game? I know they're independent, but I'm curious if you ever have had to turn down a game due to concerns about solo. Much to the chagrin of Automa Factory, I make the publishing decisions entirely independent of them. And then I go to them and say, hey, please make us a solo mode for this game, which has given them some really difficult challenges at times. But they figured it out. So, no, they don't. I always want our games to play solo, but I'm also always confident that Automa Factory can figure out a way to do it. And I think every now and then I go to Morton and I say, hey, Morton, here's a game we're considering. What do you think about it? And Automa Factory's feedback does factor into the development of a game. But yeah, it really doesn't factor into my decision to publish a game or not. Yeah, I just kind of hope that it'll work out with Automa Factory, that we can get a solo mode. Death and Other Details. Thank you, see. Oh, they canceled it. It's one of those shows that really stood by itself in a single season. At the very end, they were like, oh, here's another thing so we can have another season. I think sometimes shows like Shogun. Shogun is just a season. And I think it works great as just a single season of a show. I guess that's more of a miniseries. But Death and Other Details stands by itself. It did not need another season, even though I would have enjoyed watching it. Austin said, Walter's Tale looked incredible this week on my Saturday Instagram post. He says, my wife wants to know what conditioner he uses. That is just his windblown look when he's out on the patio. I like that photo. That's on the Jamie Stegmeier Instagram feed. I do cat-related posts on Saturdays. Joshua says, is it too personal to ask how your retirement plan looks? I've always thought about starting a business like you have, but planning for my future can be scary. I would say very little is too personal to ask on here, but I appreciate you putting it in that context. My retirement plan has always been about investing early, like even in my early 20s when I had very little money. I was trying to put a little bit away into retirement, and diversity, having a diversification of different places to put my money. That extra money that I have into long-term planning, so that if some of those accounts don't work out, other ones do. So that also said, though, I don't know what retirement looks like for me. I really love working, and I'm sure that will evolve over the years, but I can't imagine that there will become a time in my life where I don't want to have some sort of project that I'm working on that impacts more than just me. I think a lot of people end up taking satisfaction in raising a family or working on their yard or their house. And those things don't intrigue me as much. I have a lot of respect for people who do get a lot of pleasure. And yeah, absolutely. Take pleasure and joy in the things that give you pleasure and joy. But for me, I really do like making things that other people might find pleasure and joy in. So we'll see if that changes over the years, though. But that has been the pattern of my life so far. So I don't know what retirement will look like for me. Let's see, Zachary says, how do you manage your board game inventory? It seems like storage would be really expensive on something like board games. Yeah, oftentimes, I would say in every case, our fulfillment centers are also our warehouses. And you're right, warehousing is a cost. And I think you're right that I should mention that in this post, because it does factor into fulfillment. Not necessarily how it impacts customers, but it does impact us. That's one of the reasons that we always try to calculate the right number of games to have. Like, we don't want to have a 3-year supply of a game. We'd rather have maybe a 1-year supply of a game or a 6-month supply of a game. So we only are storing those things, and we're getting lower and lower in inventory during that time. We reorder during that time, and shipping comes in, and hopefully we only have a few pallets left, because pallet storage, those costs really, really do add up. So that's definitely a factor there. So the management is really forecasting as accurately as possible, and then doing our best to sell through those games. They're not just sitting in the warehouse costing us money. If a pallet of games is just sitting in a warehouse, it is literally just costing you money, because you're paying for a monthly fee to have that pallet in a warehouse. Aaron says, what solo mode was most challenging to develop? So I'm not involved in the development of the solo mode. That's the task of Automa Factory. I think Between Two Castles was the most difficult for Morton and his team to develop. There might be another one since then. Charterstone, I'm sure, wasn't easy. But yeah, I think Between Two Castles, like they really couldn't even figure it out at first. And so there wasn't in the original, in fact, in the core game of Between Two Castles, there was no solo mode because they couldn't figure it out. They did eventually figure it out later for the expansion. So it's in the expansion. What? Luke says that the Orville isn't coming back. Is that true? Or Luke, did they cancel the Orville? I love the Orville. That's too bad. Chad mentions another murder mystery style show, Only Murderers in the Building. Only Murderers? Only Murders, I think. Singular. Only Murders, plural, but Murders, not Murderers, in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short. Great. Yeah, great show. I think we've watched all three seasons. Love that show. Absolutely. I think they're continuing to make that as well. I hope so. I did mention last week, I'll do this right now. Last week in the title of the show, I had the word speakeasy, and I didn't say what I was talking about, but I went to a speakeasy in St. Louis last week called Anota, None of the Above, and had a great time there. I really, really enjoyed it. It's at a place in St. Louis called The Foundry. A friend had heard of it. Otherwise, I never would have known even where it was, because a speakeasy, inherent to speakeasies, is they're often, you have to like know where they're located or you can't find the entrance to them. But the really neat twist, I think, about Anota is if you go at a time where it isn't particularly busy, I need to make sure this is on my St. Louis list of places to go. If you go at a time where they aren't particularly busy, then you can fill out a form indicating your drink preferences. Like you can say, I like drinks that are a little sweet. I like drinks that, that are really strong. And I like drinks, just a checklist of different categories like that. And then you give it to the bartender, again, if it's not a busy time, and they will invent a drink on the spot just for you. And you can even name it after yourself if you really like it and you tell the bartender soon enough before they haven't forgotten how they made the drink. And so we did that. And I want to make sure, again, this is on my food recommendations list. I filled out that form. I ordered a drink with it. And then I enjoyed that drink so much that I was like, you know, I'd be curious to see if you use that same form data to create another drink, if it would be different. And they did. They created a different drink using the same form data. And it was different and it was still delicious. Really fun. That's the none of the above part of Anota in St. Louis. I would highly recommend it if you get the chance to go there. And we also went to a place that's a little speakeasy-ish called the Lazy Tiger this past weekend. Not full speakeasy like Anota is, none of the above, but still has the vibe of a speakeasy, some experimental drinks there. And we had some really good drinks there too. I'm not a heavy drinker, but I like having fun cocktails every now and then. Oh, Garrett mentions another great murder mystery style show, Poker Face. Really neat twist. I really hope they do another season for Poker Face. The twist in Poker Face is that every episode, they start with the thing that happened. They show you exactly how it happened, but oftentimes a murder or something really bad. And then the mystery of the show is figuring out is how the person... Well, part of it is like how the lead character figures out what happened, but almost more how she will... prove it, how she'll prove that it happened. Because she's very good at figuring out how these things happened. Really great show. Beverly says that she's enjoying Libertalia solo. I'm glad to hear that, Beverly. I love hearing good things about her solo mode. Okay, Luke says that Orville isn't canceled, but also hasn't been renewed yet. I see. So there could be good news about that. Joshua says there's a speakeasy near him in Albany that he lit, that recently closed. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that's kind of the catch with speakeasies. They can thrive off of word of mouth, but they also heavily rely on word of mouth, unfortunately. Michael says, which game that is normally for three or more players has a good two-player mode? For me, the Crew and Scout did that well. I haven't played Scout two-player mode. I did enjoy the Crew's two-player mode. Normally for three or more, I mean, I would say two of our games, Between Two Cities and Between Two Castles, are not primarily designed for two players, but I think both of them have pretty solid two-player modes in them. Those are Stonemaier games that do it. What's another game? Multiplayer game, not primarily for three that has... So I did Dune Imperium two-player. Megan and I finally tried that. I had heard great things about the bot, but we kept forgetting to activate it. When we did remember to activate it, it was fine. It worked well. But we kept forgetting to activate it in Dune Imperium. Zachary has a fun question here. What U.S. state are you most interested in visiting that you haven't been to before, and what state would you like to go back to? That's a fun question for everyone to answer. I'll also throw my question of the week in a moment. What am I most interested in? Well, so I'd like to go back to Hawaii. I really had a great time in Hawaii. I'd like to go back there. What's a state that I haven't visited? I've visited most states. I'd love to go up to Maine. I don't think I have been in Maine, and it looks beautiful. That might be it. And also, really, now that I've discovered disc golf and really love disc golf, it opens up a lot of different states that I either have been to before or haven't been to before in a new context, because I want to go there and play a bunch of different disc golf courses that I get to see the pros play on oftentimes on TV. I want to go play those courses. So I don't often know what states the courses are in, but there are some of those. My question of the week or the day is, for some reason, YouTube started recommending to me these videos of 10 things that I can't live without. And they often have a celebrity naming 10 objects that that they often have, that they use almost every day, that they recommend to other people. These are objects, items, things they purchase, not living things. They're items that they can't live without. Many of these things they probably could live without, but they're just things that are essential to them and their lives and their habits, and they recommend them to other people. It's on GQ's YouTube channel. If you Google like 10 things I can't live without, you'll see a bunch of these videos. And for fun, I thought, you know, maybe I'll make a list of my own, either for my personal blog and or for the YouTube channel, even though it has nothing to do with game design. So I don't know if I'll do it on the YouTube channel. But I wanted to see what your things are. What comes to mind when I say that, of 10 things that you can't live without? And even though it's a bit of a clickbaity title, it isn't literally about survival. Like, it isn't like water and food, although you can mention food if you want. But it's typically items that are essential to you and your lifestyle that you use almost every day that you might recommend to other people. And I found it helpful for myself to break them down into categories. So I'll say the categories really quick out loud in case this helps you contextualize it. Entertainment, hygiene, creativity, clothing, food, technology, gear and accessories, comfort, health, and sentimental things. Those are the things. Let me know if you have any ideas about those things while I'm constructing my list. Ed Bighead says, do you recall your first attempt at building and conceptualizing a board game? Were you very young, or was it later in life? I was very young. I was thinking I was around 7 or 8 years old. It was a game called Medieval Quest, and it was essentially a game of Monopoly, but with a medieval theme, kind of a Knights of the Round Table theme. And the main differentiating factor between it and Monopoly is that in the middle of the board, where there's all that blank space in Monopoly, there was a second track. It was either, I think it was a track, a secondary track, representing the round table itself. And I think maybe it was something about like gaining favor with different knights of the round table in the middle of the table. And then there was the Monopoly roll and move thing around the exterior, outside the edge of it. Ryan says he's a great speakeasy in Syracuse. It's in a basement of a restaurant. There's no sign, just an unmarked door in the back with the light on. If the light's on, you can come in. I like that idea that if the light's on, the speakeasy here in St. Louis has a similar thing. Steve says, if you liked Poker Face, did you ever see the movie Memento? Absolutely. Memento. Yeah, one of my early favorite movies from Christopher Nolan. It's a little similar to it. Yeah, you're unraveling a mystery backwards after you already know what happened, but you don't know exactly. Although in Poker Face, you know what happens, and you even know how it happens. You just don't know how the detective will figure it out and then prove it. Garrett has a classic recommendation of Columbo. I've never seen Columbo. Poker Face was heavily inspired by that format. Oh, okay, sort of a reverse whodunit. I didn't know that's what Columbo was. That's pretty neat. Michael mentions Libertario's good two-player mode. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, that's a great... I'm glad you said that. Yeah, it was one of the things in looking at the original Libertalia that we had heard that most people didn't really love the two-player mode. So we wanted to add something that was very easy to maintain in Libertalia in the two-player mode. And that's how we added the midshipman tile in Libertalia. Dave says, when a game designer reaches out to you with a new game, do you prefer a sell sheet or a 1 to 2 minute overview video? Neither. Really, the right answer, Dave, is when a game designer wants to submit a new game, my preferred way is that they go to the submission form on our website. That is the format. Go to the submission form, answer the questions on that form. And then at the end of that form, it can often say, do you have more information? Do you have a rule book you want to share with us, a sell sheet, a video, something like that? And my preference at that stage, after they filled out the form, is especially if we indicate more interest or if they already have a video ready, is that they have a short video that shows a few turns of the game being played and highlighting a few of the core features. That's my preference. Yeah. Doesn't need to be edited at all. It can be very, as long as I can hear you talk and see what you're talking about, that's all I need for that video. Jeremy says, did you see the Pam Walls video, how much I make? If so, do you have any thoughts to share? I see so many designers thinking Kickstarter is a moneymaker and failing. I did see that video. I actually didn't watch it. I should have, because I love Pam's videos, but I would pull that up because I do want to watch that. It did get me thinking a little bit about our game design contracts and making sure that we are paying our designers well. And I think we do. I think we pay our designers well and treat them really well. But you're right, Jeremy, that Pam isn't actually even a Kickstarter creator. She is specifically a game designer. So she is making money from royalties paid to her by publishers. You're right, the Kickstarter, crowdfunding, publishing, becoming a publisher brings a lot more risk to the table, a lot more expenses than, in fact, once you design a game and submit it to a publisher, you don't have those expenses anymore. Those expenses are on the publisher. You are just making royalties. But yeah, you're right. I need to watch that video. I'm going to pull that up so I don't forget it here. So this is the Pam Walls. My computer doesn't like to type when I am standing up here. Pam Walls. Here we go. I'm actually hosting Pam on my YouTube channel in the very near future. So I don't know when it'll go live. We haven't recorded it yet, but I think we're recording it next week, maybe. Yeah, early next week. So I'm looking forward to hearing Pam's thoughts on a couple different topics. Luke says, I should come up to Canada. Yeah, I do need to come up to Canada. I have been, I think, only to British Columbia, as far as I can recall, in Canada. But it's a big, beautiful country that I need to visit, and it's not that far away. Garrett says, there are some great disc golf courses in the Baltimore, Washington metro area. Absolutely. You know, I'm in that area to play some disc golf, Garrett. Austin says, a while ago, you talked about games that Star may have considered republishing. One of the criteria was the game must support 1 to 5 players. Is there a reason for this? Vantage supports 6. Yeah, so it's 1 to 5 plus. And it's just really part of our core philosophy. We want to make games that play solo, that play for couples or roommates or just two people, but also can play at larger groups. There's so many game companies, and I respect the decision to stop at 4. But one of our differentiating factors is that we don't stop at 4. We go to 5, 6, 7. So that's kind of a key differentiator. You know, if you're getting a Stonemaier game, with the exception of Smitten, that you are getting a game that can play at least up to 5 players. And you're right, Vantage does play at 6. Beverly, so essential things that you can't live without. Beverly went right to coffee. And Beverly, I'll go even deeper. Is there like a certain way that you like to drink coffee or something associated with coffee that you really like? So I have like my little mug here. I really love this mug, but I could probably drink coffee daily out of a different mug if I really wanted to. We have a little French press. I love the French press, but there's other ways that I can prepare coffee too. But if you have like an essential thing associated with your coffee, your love of coffee, that might, that's part of it, I think, or could be eligible for this type of list. Ian says, this is Yeti travel mug. Dave says, Chicago suburbs. So yeah, Dave, we actually have two good friends, Megan's brother and his wife. They moved from Chicago to St. Louis. They love the disc golf courses in Chicago, but they said it was like an hour drive to get to any of them. In St. Louis, there are a dozen amazing courses within a 20-minute drive. So they moved here, and they're really happy that drive is so much shorter now. Luke mentioned slippers, but now I can't go without them. I work from home, so I have work slippers and cozy slippers. And Luke, slippers are on my list too. I have these slippers. I don't know. Let's see if I can find the brand. I found my feet get really cold, and so much of the heat in my body leaves through my feet. And so I found that I love having little cozy slippers. I'm showing them to you because it's like this nice downy material. I almost always have slippers on. I went my whole life without realizing that this was important to me. And a couple of years ago, I discovered this, and it really has made me much happier. So that's on my list. Oh, Brian mentioned a show called Elsbeth. I'll have to look up what Elsbeth is. What is Elsbeth? Elsbeth? Comedy drama series. Oh, okay. I'll check that out. Yeah, thanks for that recommendation. Aaron does say Maine here. Great food scene in Portland and lots of beautiful nature. Yeah, I haven't, you know, I want to go to Olympia or Olympic National Park. I think it's Olympia National Park in the Pacific Northwest. That is one of the national parks that I really, really want to go to. It looks beautiful. Tony played his first game of Expeditions last night and he won. Congratulations, Tony. I know there's an upcoming expansion and reveal on May 22nd for the Expeditions expansion. And I have to say that while I think new tiles or cards would be a nice addition, I'm a little cautious about the idea of more player options. Solve, gather, as I think there's already a lot of actions to choose from. Can you comment at all if the upcoming expansion adds new player options? I would say, Tony, it is, for the most part, a more stuff expansion and an expansion that fixes some things that people weren't happy with in the core game. Mostly that, and then one fun optional addition that adds some danger to the game. Yeah. Didi has a list ready to go of things that are essential to him. He says, bamboo back scratcher, unstoppable scent beads, tiny fan, zero sugar grapefruit soda pop, Alaska fish fertilizer, Unst speaker, sunscreen, SPF 50, good call there, comfy shorts, Disney and YouTube premium. I love how fast you get with that list, Didi. That's awesome. Paul says that he can't do without cans of seltzer. Do you have a preferred recommended brand there? Oftentimes they do, kind of surprise me, but the celebrities who do this thing, they show the very specific thing, like the item that's actually in their backpack or their luggage or their preferred can of seltzer. Someone mentioned something called Cali water, which was cactus water a sparkling can of cactus water. I'm intrigued by that. I want to try that. Let's see. RMS loves his Ember mug. Megan has one of those. Although she says it works like on and off. It doesn't always work for her. Coffee and tea stay hot until the last drop. I'm glad it's working for you at least. And I was actually, one thing I struggled with the list is a specific board game related thing. Like I want to put board games on the list. I consider them essential to my life, but I didn't know what to put essential to them. Maybe I could put the board game table. I do use that almost every day, but I could use any table for board games. I don't know. I wasn't sure what to put on the list for that. Mark comments about our 1 to 5 player, 1 to 5 plus player. The 5 player games motto is what really pulls me to Stillmeyer Games. I always play games with my wife and 2 sisters. So 5 player games allow us to bring in a guest. Thank you, Mark, for saying that. Yeah, that's, I love hearing that our games, it's kind of a part of accessibility. I want our games to be accessible to different sizes of groups, as much as possible. Zoctol has a very specific, I like the specificity here. He likes to drink pour over coffee, specifically lightly roasted Sal Silvestre from Brazil. I wonder if we can get that here in the U.S. I like trying new coffee. Garrett says he's also heard good things about the show Elsbeth. I'm going to have to add that to the list. Also, the new season of Wrexham just started. I'm really excited to watch that. Oh, Brian says that Olympic National Park is in his backyard. So it is Olympic, not Olympia. Olympic National Park. Yeah, absolutely, Brian. I'll let you know if we ever head that way. And really, I know for sure that I will go there. It is on, I want to make sure it's on my future travel list. Is it there? It isn't. I'm glad I mentioned it. I'm going to mention you too here. Olympic. Do you all have like a bucket list place that you can easily access whenever you think of a place that you want to go? And I'll mention that Brian Chandler is nearby. There we go. It's on the list now. It's official. Red Yeti also says that Olympia is amazing. It's also the only temperate rainforest in the world. I didn't know that. Okay, so Beverly says she definitely has coffee accessories. I have a collection of honeybee-themed coffee cups. And she decides, which coffee cup do I want in the morning? Which coffee cup feels like me today or feels like today? Big part of the routine shows. So help me Todd, then Elsbeth to follow. Nice recommendations there. as we're wrapping up today, let me make sure that I have covered everything I wanted to cover. I guess just real quick. Oh yeah, two things. I missed one thing. I mentioned Fall Guy in the description of this video. Fall Guy is a new movie that is a beautiful, entertaining, fun, and heartfelt homage to stunt people and stunt performers. But it isn't just an homage. It really is a really entertaining movie. And I'm saying this because it came out this past weekend. Megan and I saw it. We really, really enjoyed it. And not that many other people saw it, even though it has Ryan Gosling. It has a few other very, very famous actors whose names I'm forgetting right now. It's really good. Don't miss out on it. Like, it is a really good movie. Given how it started off fairly weak, I don't think it'll be in theaters for all that long. But I would recommend seeing it in the theater. That's Fall Guy. Highly recommend it. We watched Star Wars Episode 9. That was our Star Wars choice for May the 4th. Because Megan and I realized that we've each only watched it once. And so we thought, you know, let's go back and watch it again. And I think it's a fine finish to the Skywalker saga, although that might be continuing now. But there are some things about the movie that I really love, that are some of my favorite moments in the entire Star Wars series, in particular, using the Force to heal instead of to fight or kill. I love that element of it. And there's some other really great moments in it as well. Blog post recently were about mental health. Mental health last Thursday, talked about that in detail. I talked about Off Duty Ninja, which is a marketing customer service company, mostly marketing, company that helps out with game publishers and game creators, game designers. And talked about that on the blog post on Monday. And my video this past weekend was about similar games. In fact, if you watch this live cast on a regular basis, you probably know that I asked you about, do you have any games in your collection that are similar to each other, and yet you still have them in your collection, and why? I took all that information and made a video about it. So that video is posted as of this last Sunday. Erica says, my coworker Erica says, the Ho Rainforest in Olympic National Park is otherworldly. Highly recommended. I will add that to the list. H-O-H Rainforest. I will add that to the list in terms of, so check out Ho Rainforest. Thank you, Erica, for that recommendation. I really appreciate that. Oh, and Aaron was talking about Portland, Maine. You're totally right. Forgot that there's two Portlands on opposite sides of the country. I need to go there too. Maine, I would like to go there too. So Paul's preference for sparkling water is Waterloo, lemon, lime, and strawberry. I love it. Garrett is a fan of Spindrift. What is Spindrift? Is that a coffee thing, Garrett? Ian likes Tetley Bold Tea. And if you wonder why I'm sharing these random things, if you missed the context, I recently saw a number of videos from GQ about 10 things I can't live without. So there are 10 essential things that you use almost every day that you recommend to other people. That's where these things are coming from. Patrick says a deck of cards. I thought about using that as my thing. A deck of cards. You're right. So many games can be played with a deck of cards. Dice tray. I like that. Justin says, my prototype was accepted to be on the Play and Win shelf at Geekway. That's awesome. Thoughts on adding a QR code for a rules video or survey to collect feedback? Oh, that's an interesting question. I like the idea. Yeah, I would either do that or pieces of paper that you can hand out on the spot. One or both, maybe even both. And I would recommend, Justin, keeping it very short and sweet. Ask 3 questions at most. Ask maybe a numerical question, maybe a rating question, unless they already do that at Board Game Geek. And then ask 1 or 2 other questions about very specific. Well, actually, do 1 broad question and then 1 very specific question about something that you are concerned about the game, that you want to know, that you want to be even better about the game. And then maybe 1 broad, more open-ended question. But the more specificity, I think the better the feedback you'll get from playtesters. Congratulations. That's awesome to see. And please stop by and say hi at Geekway. Geekway is next week. Nate says he can't live without his knitting supplies. I've rekindled this hobby after 7+ years away. I'm really addicted. It's so satisfying to make something via knitting. That's great, Nate. Patrick's coming to Geekway. Are there any games on your want to play list? Yes. So I'll show it to you real quick if I can find it over here. Where's my Geekway want to play list? Here we go. I'll share it on my other screen here, Patrick. So the top 10 games that I want to play at Geekway to the West in the very near future are The Witcher Old World, Rurik, Imperial Miners, Waffle Time, The White Castle, Come Together, Terrascape, Thunder Road, Votes for Women, and Beacon Patrol. I also have honorable mentions, Fool, Distilled, Summer Camp, Artemis Project, Station Fault, Lunar Rush. I'll be prioritizing these 10 games. These are 10 games that I have not played before that I really want to play, And yeah, that I'm excited to play. So if you are attending Geekway and you love one of these games and you want to play it with me, I would love to play it with you. George says, any thoughts about the Star Wars Unlimited TCG after playing it? Do you enjoy it as much as Magic? Good question. I mean, I have such a history with Magic that I'm still probably more deeply ingrained in Magic, even though it doesn't address some of the things that make Magic not work as well. Sorry, I'm a little fuzzy right now for reasons beyond my comprehension. Try that one more time. Made it worse. I'm not sure where I stand on the game right now. I really enjoyed it, but I haven't actually pulled it off my shelf to play in quite some time. Whereas this weekend, when we didn't end up having time, but if we had played a Star Wars game this past weekend, it would have been the deck builder. I really love the Star Wars deck builder. So having that on my shelf next to it, I'm generally going to pull out the deck builder instead. That said, I would love to do a draft of Star Wars Unlimited sometime and compare it to my experience playing a Magic draft. Luke says that Wrexham is doing a friendly against the Whitecaps in Vancouver. That's awesome. Yeah, I love that Wrexham is traveling. They're not coming to St. Louis, unfortunately. Let's see. A few more minutes here. Let's see. I just recommended the movie Fall Guy. And yeah, I really highly recommend seeing it in the theater. It's just a really good movie. And it's really neat to see what goes on behind the scenes. Even, and it's not a documentary. This is a scripted, fictional movie. But it does show you what goes into being a stunt person, I think, in a movie. Oh, this is clever. Jeremy has every location he wants to visit on Google Maps. I've tried to do that a little bit more, especially tagging people on Google Maps. So I remember, okay, when I go to Olympic National Forest, I need to let Brian know so I can say hi to Brian, that sort of thing. But I haven't done a great job of that. Chits and Cardboard has nice things to say about ODN. That's Off Duty Ninja, the marketing company that did a guest post or like an interview post on my blog on Monday. I do want the three body problem is on our list. Monkey Butler Labs mentions this as a show. Unexpectedly great. I hadn't heard about it until the show on Netflix. I tried to get into the books, couldn't get into it, but I am very curious to see the show. It's on our list right now. I think we're going to do Fallout first, though. So here is Chad's essential things. French press, Pike Place Starbucks coffee with hazelnut powder creamer, very specific. iPad and Apple Pencil, Nike polarized sunglasses, Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator, Wacom Cintiq, I think that's a digital illustration device, and Gerber pocket knife. Good essential list there, Chad. Susanna says something she can't live without. A blanket that Joe gave her a few years ago made by a company called Love Sack. It's the softest, warmest, coziest blanket I've ever had. Ooh, I'm curious. Love Sack. Hopefully nothing nefarious comes up here. Not that it would, Susanna, but I know you type things in the internet, you don't know what you're going to get, but Love Sack. Yeah, I'll have to see what makes this so cool. Oh, they have a lot of different things here. Some beanbag chairs. So look at the blanket that you're talking about. Accessory. Yeah, I'll dig into it later after this is done. But thank you for the recommendation. And maybe you can, if you know very specifically what it is, Susanna, let me know and I'll check it out. Softball says that he thinks I can get Sal Silvestre in the U.S. It's a pretty established brand and it's deliciously nutty. And so many recommendations here. Okay, Sal Silvestre coffee. All right. I will be looking that up as well. Thank you for the recommendation. Patrick says there's a temperate rainforest in Australia. You know, I didn't want to say anything, but it did come to mind. I've been to Sydney, Australia, and not far from Sydney is a rainforest that I thought was a temperate rainforest. But I didn't know for sure. It's been a long time since I've been there. So, but Patrick confirms that might be true. So maybe there is another one somewhere in the world. Maybe in our hemisphere, it's the only one here, Olympic National Forest. Paul says that Spindrift is a seltzer. Okay, it's a seltzer that has some fruit juice mixed in. Paul says he avoids it because it has some natural sugar in it, whereas the one that Paul mentioned does not have sugar in it. Darius says, Wormspin question, is there a specific reason to keep the cave cards under once you play a dragon on them? Not really. I guess not. Yeah, if they're annoying, you could get rid of it and even put it back into the deck, although probably wouldn't put it back into the deck. That would impact gameplay. But no, I can't think necessarily of a reason that you need to keep a cave card under a dragon after you place a dragon on top of it. Oh, Patrick says he could bring Raffle Time. I'd love to play Raffle Time with you, Patrick. That'd be amazing. Yeah, thank you. James says Beacon Patrol is fun. Yeah, I've heard good things. I like cooperative tile placement. Corey says, did you ever watch the Fall Guy TV show? I have not. I have not. And the movie, I think, is very loosely based on it. It isn't much about the TV show at all. You don't need any context for the TV show. I knew nothing about the TV show. And look, Gary confirms Fall Guy was an excellent movie. I took his family to see it over the past weekend. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it too, Gary. And Aaron says, last few comments here related to travel. In the last few years, if I visit a new city on vacation, I see if I can find a game cafe. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. I love doing that when I travel too. Find a game cafe, find a disc golf course. I'm happy if I do that. And Ian says, thinking about, like, what essential thing would you say is such a big part of your life that you consider essential that you would recommend it to other people? And he says, metal coin upgrades for games. I do love metal coin upgrades. As usual, I love this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today for this. I hope the conversation continues on YouTube in the comments later. But yeah, I hope you have a wonderful day. I didn't even go to chocolate of the day. What am I doing chocolate of the day? I still have some dark chocolate left over from cacao here in St. Louis. So that might be my chocolate of the day today. But yeah, I hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful week. I will see you next week right before Geekway. So we'll be talking even more Geekway stuff next Wednesday. All right. Yeah. Take care. I'll see you later. Bye.